we're going to start where Al started in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of real situations in the New Testament and try to make a comparison to gospel work today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. There's two parts to the verse that we've just read. Probably we'll have no difficulty understanding the reality of the first part in everyday life. Sometimes people come along and they see a gospel text in a public display, and especially when you get a group of young fellows together, they begin to nudge one another and point at the display, and they begin to laugh and make fun of it. They're more inclined to do it when they've had a little what you might call liquid refreshment. But you know, when they get kind of silly like that, they get a little loud and they begin to attract more attention to the gospel. But we don't have too much difficulty understanding that to many people, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to many unsaved people. What about the second part? But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Is that also true? Well, whether we like it or we don't like it, whether we agree or we don't, it's true because it's in the Word of God. So it is true. But what is our understanding of it? Do we really understand that the preaching of the cross is the power of God? We need to understand that. There's no substitute. As believers, there's no substitute for clear teaching of truth from the Word of God. And when it comes to gospel work, there is no substitute for clear preaching of the gospel message from the Word of God. Now I want to turn to Matthew chapter 4. And what I'd like to do for a few minutes is look at the use of nets in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 4 is the first record that we'll come to about the use of fishing nets. Now, what would we use a fishing net for? Well, you might say that's easy. It's to catch fish. That's what a net's for. If we talk about a net and describe it as something to catch fish or to catch something, then we might have a little bit of a negative impression. Just the whole thought of catching something, it's a little negative. But if we suggest that a net can also be used to collect something that's special or valuable or precious, that's a little bit of a different angle, isn't it? And that's how I'd like us to think about the net today. A net can be used to collect something that is precious. What is precious to God? The souls of men and women and boys and girls. A little person stuck their head in the door a minute ago. Everybody that was looking this way never saw it. That little person is precious to God. And he's not saved. And by the way, I expect you'll be here tonight. Souls are precious to God. And God wants to use, as it were, a net to collect, to gather up what is precious to Him. Now let's see what we can learn about the use of nets here. In Matthew chapter 4, we'll read from verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now I want us to especially think of verse 18. The Lord Jesus Christ, walking by the Sea of Galilee, and my brother Fred over here, he will be able to picture this far better than I can, but I can picture it now too. Walking by the Sea of Galilee, originally, in the time of Christ, was very little shoreline. And so the Lord is walking, I can see him walking along by the shore, and here's close at hand men with a net, and they're fishing. They're on the shore, and they're casting the net in, and they intend to collect up the fish that are in close to shore. Why are they casting in the net? There's a very simple statement here that really has a lot of meaning and a real lesson for us. They're casting in the net just because they're fishers. This is just simply a logical activity for them. This is simply something sensible for them to be involved in. Because they're fishermen. They're casting a net. That's what fishermen do. They cast the net. They collect up precious, valuable fish. We all, as believers, ought to be involved in the work of casting the net in gospel work. Why? Why would you do that? Well, just because we're Christians. And that's what we're meant to do. This activity of reaching out to collect precious souls with the gospel message is not an activity for some exclusive group of believers. This is an activity for every Christian, because that's what we're made to do. Every fisherman worked with a net, because that's what he was meant to do. Every believer should be working with the gospel, because that's what we're meant to do. And so these two men are casting the net. Their intent is to collect up something that's precious. Now then, in verse 21, the Lord continues his walk along the seashore, and he comes to two other men. We read in verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Now, what are these men doing? Well, they've pulled the nets out. And as they've pulled the nets out, they've been taking a look at the net. You know, they didn't just pull the nets out, kind of roll it all up into a ball and throw it in the corner of the boat. And when they pulled the nets out, they were taking a pretty careful look at these nets. Is there any problems? You know, maybe we've snagged a piece of wood in the water. Maybe we snagged a rock or something. Somehow, maybe the net has gotten damaged. So when they pull the net out of the sea, they're taking a look at it. They're checking it out, examining it to see, is there any damage done? Because a net with damage is not going to work properly. So they're taking a look at the net, and they've found a few spots. They have found something that needs to be mended. And that's what they're doing. They're mending their nets. You know, sometimes in any effort to reach others with the gospel, whether it's something on an individual basis or something on a collective basis, that is, the whole assembly involved, sometimes we'll find that somehow there's something that needs some repair. It could be a very simple thing. When we used to work with groups of young men, some called it boot camp, but anyhow, we would try to explain to the young men, brothers and sisters that were with us, when you go in the town and you go house to house, you go door to door with the invitation to the meetings and seed sower texts and so on, you don't walk over people's gardens. You don't walk over their lawn. You look at a lawn, it's nicely cut, it's nice and green. You don't walk over the lawn. You walk around the lawn on the sidewalk. Now that might sound like a very small point, but that very point is one way to offend a person that you're trying to invite to come and hear the gospel. And so sometimes somebody would have done something like that, and we'd have to sort of take a look at the nets and spot areas where there's a little repair needed and try to help others to make repairs to how they approached people or how they handled themselves in the visiting and going door to door. Now you might think of another example. It could be something in connection with the assembly. It could be something personal. But there are different ways in each of our lives, in each of our experiences, there are different ways by which some sort of damage can be done to the gospel net. And we need to take a look at the nets from now, from time to time. And now and then we need to do some repair work. Repair the nets. That's what these men were doing. They're mending their nets. Now, why would you bother mending the net anyhow? Because they intend to use it again. They intend to use it again. They're not finished with the fishing. There's more out there. There's more valuable fish to be collected up. They're not finished. They intend to go at it again. And when we do things, gospel activity, we need to keep in mind, be careful how we handle ourselves. Be careful how we treat people. Because we need to go at it again. We need to be using the gospel nets on another day, another occasion. It could be tent meetings. You know, we got the use of a site just close by here, and every contact with the property owners is done very carefully. When we're finished with the site, you double check and double check and double check. Make sure there's no tent stakes left laying on the ground. Why? Because we want to come back. We want to leave a good impression. We want to be favored in the minds of the people that own the property. Because there's another time, another occasion. We need to keep that in mind. You mend the nets because we're not finished. We've got another occasion, another time yet to use those nets. Now then, in Matthew and Mark, we have the same incident recorded. So we're going to leave Matthew and Mark, and we're going to come over to Luke chapter 5. Excuse me. Luke chapter 5. We have another occasion. The Lord has had a very, very busy day. He has been trying to work with people, healing diseases, preaching. And when we come to chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Now, here in verse 1, the Lord is down at the shore, and the people are crowding in closer and closer. And you know, when a crowd begins to build, the crowd begins to build from the back. But as more and more people push in from the back, there's a little bit of pressure, forward pressure. And so the Lord is experiencing that forward pressure. The only problem is, he's got nowhere to go. The sea is right there. But there's two ships standing by. Nobody's in them. The fishermen are out. They're done their work. Now, they're washing their nets. Why would they wash their nets? Well, there's a similarity to mending your nets. They're washing their nets because it's possible that they could have got some junk caught in the nets. There could be stuff in the nets that's a residue, film, seaweed, residue from something, or what we call refuse, garbage. Maybe they picked up some junk. And so they need to take these nets out and wash them so that they're ready for the next time they're going to go out fishing. They're getting the nets not ready for storage. They're getting the nets ready for reuse for the next time. You know, when it comes to gospel work, when the meetings are done, or when the effort is done in the assembly, or even ourselves personally, sometimes we may have responded to a question a little too quick. Maybe a little too sharp. Maybe just not thinking as carefully as we could have. And maybe we've left an impression that we're sort of looking down on the person, criticizing the person. That's a mistake. That's not what we should be doing. When we're talking to a person who's not saved, we don't need to be putting them down. We don't need to be criticizing them. We don't need to make them feel small. That's a mistake. Sometimes we have to wash the nets. So there may be things that we would think of that we said, or the way we did it, or just, it could be just our action. And we might find we have to do a cleaning process to clean up something that's not helpful. Clean up something that really shouldn't be there in the net. Not because we're putting it away for good. Not because we're putting it in storage. But because we intend to use it again. You know, brethren and sisters, we need to remind ourselves that the people that we see, whether we know them or not, whether we have any connection or acquaintance, these people that are not saved are moving very quickly, far quicker than you and I think, and far quicker than they think. They're moving towards eternity without Christ. When you go to some of the updated airports these days, instead of walking long, long ways with your suitcase in hand, they now have a kind of a conveyor belt for people. And you hop on the conveyor belt with your suitcase and it just sort of takes off. It gives you that feeling. All of a sudden, wow, you're moving. You know, the first time I got on that, I thought, this is the way unsaved are moving through life. All they're doing is standing there. They're just sort of taking it easy. But they're moving. And they're moving quickly. But they don't realize it. We need to understand that. So we need to not just sort of pack up our books and bags and our tools and say, you know what? We're finished with this gospel outreach. We're done. Put the whole business in storage for another generation. What would the other generation do with it? You hand a younger generation tools that they've never worked with. They don't have a clue what to do with them. They've seen no example. No, don't put our gospel work into storage. Clean the nets and get ready to use it again. Now, the Lord, there was two boats there. Fishermen got out of both boats, they're washing their nets. The Lord spoke to Simon and asked if the Lord could get in that boat and Simon would just push the boat out a little bit so the Lord would stand in the boat and teach and not be pressured by the crowd. So that's what he did. Now, when the Lord is finished speaking, you might say it's a kind of a gracious thing to do. He wants to do something helpful for Simon. The Lord knows all about Simon. The Lord knows they've fished all night. They've caught nothing. The Lord knows Simon's discouraged with this whole fishing routine. And so, he wants to do something helpful for Simon. He says, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. You know, Simon's thinking real fast. What a wasted effort. This is useless. He's not a fisherman. What does he know about fishing? He doesn't know anything about fishing. I'm the fisherman. I know where to go. I know how to do it. We fished all night. We caught nothing. Simon, I believe, was discouraged at this point. And he says, Master, we have toiled. We have really worked hard at this. You know, this isn't a joke. We have worked hard all night and taken nothing. How frustrating must that be? To give it your best shot, your best effort, and come up with nothing. But, give Simon credit here, he had some level of confidence in the Lord. And he said, okay, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, the Lord told him to put nets in plural in the water. Simon reluctantly agreed, I'll drop one net. what he did. And they enclosed the net, collected a great multitude of fishes. Precious, valuable fish. And the end result was more than what Simon and those that were with him in that boat could handle. They had to call for help. Just for a minute, think of the ship like an assembly. It would be a wonderful thing if one assembly was involved in a gospel effort and there was so much result, so much success, that they had to call for help and had to get another assembly to come and give them a hand to deal with all the unsaved people. That'd be really wonderful. Maybe it could happen. But you know one problem we have? Very often, too often, as assemblies, we work independent of each other. Now, if you're in the assembly in Thunder Bay, I wouldn't have any difficulty with you saying, you know what, we have to work independent. We don't have any choice. You're 9 hours from the nearest assembly. But that's not an excuse in Southern Ontario. Not at all. Very often in Southern Ontario, we've got other assemblies within an hour away. And we could use more communication and more cooperation. We could coordinate our efforts a little better and work together. There's nothing wrong with that. But brethren and sisters, let's not pack up the nets. Mm-hmm. Let's be ready. And when the Lord says, push out, put the net in, let's be ready to go. Let's do it. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Sometimes fellas ask me, or people ask me, about a gospel booth at a fair or some public event. And I'll tell them, you be ready to put in 5 years straight with no results. 5 years. You commit to 5 years. By year number five, you'll begin to get a little encouragement. But if you're not ready to commit 5 years, you're not ready. First year, people walk by, little curiosity there. Some of the people we know from the gospel hall, you know, look at what they do. But they're not going to stop and talk to you. They're going to look at it from a distance. Second year, well, look at that. Those people are back here. They're back at the fair. A little bit of commitment there. They're a little bit serious about this. But they still don't talk. They still don't stop. They might hesitate, though. Third year, oh, this is kind of interesting. Those people from the gospel hall, they're there again. They're giving out things to the kids, you know. Well, let's look. Don't talk, we'll look. And that's how it goes. But gradually, the level of confidence increases, the interest increases, the contact increases. It's the same with any kind of gospel effort. Brethren and sisters, let's not get discouraged. One ship can encourage the other ship. One assembly can encourage another assembly. As individuals, we can encourage each other. Let's remember, there are precious, precious souls that God wants to collect up, to gather up for eternity. And we have the mechanism to work with the gospel, to do that work for God here on earth. Let's be encouraged to continue. We may have to do a little mending on the nets now and then. We may have to do a little washing. But let's keep on working with the gospel.